We talked in our earlier segment about the issues with medical care in lightly populated areas. One solution is to bring more doctors in. Our next segment is about getting patients out and quickly. Mercy Flights in Medford started as an air ambulance service nearly 70 years ago to give fast transportation to people in serious medical need. And while flights are still part of the picture, there's a lot more to the organization now. Doug Stewart is the CEO of Mercy Flights, has been with the organization himself for more than two decades, and he's our guest in the studio. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Jeffrey. I'm glad to be here.
This all goes back to George Milligan. Who was he, and what prompted him to start Mercy Flights?
Yeah, George Milligan was a resident here in Southern Oregon. He was a local pilot and an air traffic controller. And, you know, back in his days, before Mercy Flights got started, you know, the polio epidemic in the world was pretty significant back in the 40s, and it was getting worse. And, you know, Medford back then was an area that really wasn't developed very much as far as medical facilities and doctors and all those kinds of things. So we were having residents down here in Southern Oregon, in Northern California, dying from polio, basically, you know, all the time, very frequently, or being severely disabled from it. So George had a friend that had polio and was ground transported up to Portland for definitive care. Of course, if you remember back in 1940s, there was no I-5. So,
right.
Therefore, this made it a pretty remote area because it was about a 10 to 12 hour drive to get up there. Well, he was critical. He ended up dying in the route to definitive care up in Portland. So George and some other community members got together and said, we need to do something about this. Let's start transporting people out of here by a plane. Why couldn't we do that? So he got a bunch of his friends together. He rallied the community, schools, Mail Tribune, businesses, Boy Scouts, you name it, and got it. And they raised enough money through nickels and dimes, so to speak, to buy the first twin-engine Cessna back in 1949. And George Milligan incorporated Mercy Flights back in 1949 as a 501c3 nonprofit air ambulance.
So he never intended it to be a profit-making thing. It was always non-profit.
No, and everybody he had at that point working, the pilots and medical personnel, were all volunteer. They were all volunteers from the community, and a local board was started, and it's all leadership from our local community here.
I was going to ask you about that first plane, a twin-engine Cessna. You can't just use any old plane for air ambulance service, it sounds like.
No. You have to have the right kind of doors. You have to has to carry enough weight and those kinds of things and have the proper aviation equipment in it.
So after that first plane, I mean, how long did Mercy Flights pretty much stay like that? And where was it taking people from and to?
Yeah, it was mainly taking people from the local places here or things of that nature here, the hospitals up to Portland mainly. Things did shift. Back at about 1951, Mercy Flights was actually in serious trouble. They were $800 in debt. And $800 back then doesn't sound like anything now, but it was back then. So George and some other folks, his friends, you know, thought about it, and they go, I wonder if people would be willing to pay a prescription for an air membership if they were needed. I wonder if they'd pay $2 a year. And so it got thrown out there, advertised, and sure enough, there was a couple thousand families that bought memberships and took Mercy Flights out of debt. Mercy Flights was continued to be more successful and busy and bought more planes, even had a plane in 1959 donated by the Air Force. It was a C-45. We got it basically sold to us for $1. And it was called Iron Annie, and it is now in the Boeing Flight Museum up in the Boeing Airfield there.
How big a ship is a C-45?
It's a pretty good metal aircraft. Mm-hmm. It was parachutes were jumping out of there. It was metal seats in that thing. I think that's why they call it Iron Annie, so the seats could fit the parachutes. I hear a pretty strong rumor that the nurses didn't appreciate the seats too much.
I can imagine. Doug Stewart's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the CEO of Mercy Flights, based in Medford. Started as an air ambulance, now it's air and ground. You can join the discussion on the Exchange. Questions and comments welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So we didn't talk about the difference in flight time. You know, 10 or 12 hours to take somebody by ground, pre-I-5 from Medford to Portland for needed services. How quickly in a plane in those days?
Yeah, it's we were probably getting up there in about an hour and maybe 10 minutes, hour and 15 minutes roughly flight time, depending on the weather and whatnot. And, you know, Jeffrey, I want to mention, too, you know, you were talking about, I heard your program earlier about rural access and medicine and those things. Well, really, you know, really in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, Mercy Flights actually contributed very much to the hospitals making Medford actually a medical hub. And you saw a transition to where now Mercy Flights in the 70s and 80s and 90s wasn't just transporting people out of the valley. As a matter of fact, we were going to many outlying places. We were going to the coast. We were going to Lakeview and things like that, you know, other counties out, serving people in Northern California and bringing them to Medford for definitive medical services here. So we really kind of helped contribute to putting Medford on the map in terms of medicine, which is spectacular here in the valley now.
Medford's growth as a regional medical center
Absolutely.
Figures into the history of Mercy Flights.
You bet.
When you talked about adopting the subscription model to get out of debt, and it seems like it's continued to this day, what was the funding mechanism before that?
Is the funding mechanism, like, say that question?
Before the subscription started.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How was Mercy Flights
Well,
funded?
We would, right now we're just bill for our services. I mean, the two ways we generate revenue is we bill for services. So we bill Medicare or we bill Medicaid or private insurances. And we have this membership program that also supports Mercy Flights today. The memberships program is alive and well.
So that has continued since the original Get Out of Debt program.
Yeah.
The membership continued.
Yeah. And I want to say, too, I want to back up a little bit and let everybody know that Mercy Flights was the first civil air ambulance in the United States and also had the first air membership program in the United States, in which ours is still going very strong. We feel like it's a really super important part, a piece, if you will, for the community to offer that. And if they don't use it, since we're nonprofit, they can write it off as a donation to the company.
Has the Mercy Flights model been adopted elsewhere? I mean, did it take a while for your idea for how to fund things catch on?
Yeah, there is a lot of air ambulance programs here now that have membership, but it's not quite the same model. Mercy Flights is very rare in terms of its nonprofit status. Matter of fact, in the state of Oregon, there is not another true nonprofit air or ground ambulance in the state. So we're pretty proud of that.
Now, George Milligan himself died in a plane crash. Was it after his death that the Mercy Flights began the ground ambulance service?
Yeah, it was. Basically, the board of directors back in 1992 decided to buy Medford Ambulance at that time to expand the service to the community, provide more of a comprehensive service, and also to help financially fund the company. They thought that would be a good business move. And they also took over Rogue Ambulance Service in 1993. So we started servicing Jackson County, 2,000 square miles of Jackson County in 1992, 1993. And we're still serving that same 2,000 square miles today.
So how big an operation now between ground and air?
Oh, we're getting pretty good. Big, actually. Our ground, this year we're definitely slated to run over 22,000 calls for service with our ground ambulances. And we're going to be running people up to Portland with our fixed-wing planes. We have two fixed-wing planes. We have 20 ground ambulances. But with our two fixed-wing planes, we're going to be probably running people up there at least 400 times this year, transports, we're assuming, and or anticipating. And we're looking at probably transporting over 200 people with our brand-new helicopter that we just purchased. And it's a Bell 407GX, and that one's used for picking up people in the field, so to speak, on, you know, highways, logging accidents, chest pain, where people live out far enough and they're critical enough and the paramedics identify it. We use the helicopter to get them into the hospitals here quickly.
So that's a new dimension then, being the helicopter, the pickup.
Yeah, we've had a helicopter program for about 20 years now, but previous to this, we were leasing our helicopter through Timberland Helicopters down here in Ashland, and then we just recently terminated that contract, decided to go to own and operate the aircraft just like we do our planes and put it under that program.
So I can see the difference, though, between the fixed wing and the helicopter stuff. You can get into places with a helicopter that you can't get to with a fixed wing aircraft.
Right. You really, in this area, you need to have both, because just having a helicopter, for example, you know, with all this bad winter, like weather we've had this winter, often the helicopter can't go because of visibility issues, but the planes can still go. It's very rare that our planes aren't able to take somebody to go get care. So it's a good avenue, I guess, to have both of those platforms available.
Doug Stewart, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the CEO of Mercy Flights, based in Medford, Air and Ground Ambulance Service, nonprofit to this day. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's an email from Mike in Medford. He writes, "Thank you for the service you provide. You took my newborn nephew up to OHSU for treatment. Do you think Medford will ever build a hospital that can handle major trauma? It would seem we are servicing a massive area, then have to send people up to Portland." That from Mike in Medford.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I don't know. The hospitals here are spectacular, and they do like what he's talking about is the hospitals in Portland, they have what they call level one trauma centers, okay? And level one trauma centers are usually in you find them in large metropolitan areas that usually have, 500,000 people plus, which we're nowhere near that really in the area here. And I think they have like three level one trauma hospitals up there in Portland. To have a level one trauma hospital, it takes a lot of money, a lot of resources. The hospitals here are both officially level twos, Providence and, level threes, Providence and Asante Hospital here in Medford. And they function as level twos, really, as far as I can see.
So they stretch the definition of level three just a bit.
Yeah, they do. They do a great job, but they just don't have the money, resources, and the population here yet. I don't know when that'll happen. I could see it happening someday, but nowhere in the near future.
We have to get a lot bigger, is
yes.
what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And you get into the same situation I do with the hospital names. Providence Hospital stayed fairly consistent over the years at Providence Medford Medical Center, but trying to remember that it's Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center now instead of RVMC still takes a while.
We still stumble with that too.
Right. So, how many people are employed at Mercy Flights? I mean, it sounds like with you got 20 ground ambulances, two fixed wing, and a helicopter, you got a few bodies hanging around.
Yeah, we do. We're about 110 employees now, full time employees at Mercy Flights. We don't outsource anything except for our IT stuff. But we have our own billing department, membership department, own communication center. Pilots, nurses, paramedics, EMTs, mechanics. We do all of our own mechanical stuff for the plane and for the ground ambulances. And we were fortunate back in 2011 to get a Connect 3 Oregon grant to build a new facility, new hangars, and those kinds of things to continue serving the community. And it's just a very nice community asset.
How much in the way of fixed plant do you have? It sounds like you stay fairly mobile and therefore don't need a lot of buildings.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the buildings are for the planes and to store the ambulances and do the maintenance and those kinds of things. We use here, as far as our ground ambulances here in Jackson County, we use what is called system status management. It's a little bit different than your fire departments. Your fire departments have fire stations and guys are assigned to that station for the 24 hours and they'll run their calls and they'll go back. Whereas we post our ambulances all around the Jackson County, and when one ambulance goes to a 911 call, our dispatcher then moves the amount of ambulances that we have on the street to give the best coverage for the amount of ambulances that are still left on the street. And then we do an analysis, always of the 911 calls from previous year to kind of see where the best location is to put those ambulances. So these folks that are on the ambulances really don't go back to another station. They get moved all around all day long. They're mobile.
So they're essentially sitting in the ambulance waiting for a call?
Yeah, some of them are. And then we also have some stations, like we have a small station at Providence, and down south we have a small kind of a storefront station. We like to do that to kind of get them comfortable now and again, and instead of having to sit in the ambulance all day. So we kind of move them around and that kind of thing. So,
how specialized is the training for? I mean, obviously you have to be trained to work on an ambulance, but do you need extra special training to be an ambulance attendant when it's an air ambulance?
Oh yeah, the people that are on the medical providers on our aircraft and helicopter fixed wing are RNs and paramedics. That's all we use on them, of course, besides the pilots. It's not, besides being a licensed for their profession and everything, there's a lot of education that has to go into being a flight provider because of the different altitude factors and physics and all those kinds of stuff. And also the helicopter, the safety, when you're doing scene stuff, there's a lot of reconning in terms of, you're not landing in a, at an airport or a helipad. You're landing maybe on a highway, or you're landing in somebody's backyard or field. And there's a lot of stuff you got to pay attention to. There's a lot of training that goes along with that to keep to have a good, safe program.
Just by the dollars, then, I mean, what does it cost when you send either fixed wing or a helicopter out? And who pays for that?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good one. Incredibly expensive. I will tell you that air ambulance is incredibly expensive, and you know, and so is ground ambulances, because you are paying not only for those assets and everything that comes with those assets, insurance, fuel, everything, but you are paying for 24-hour readiness. You are paying for 24-hour readiness of people that are professional pilots, that are RNs and paramedics sitting there waiting for your emergency to happen. A fixed wing up to a fixed wing up to Portland is around $21,000-$22,000 for that transport. But if you look at everybody else around us, which we have the bills, all the profit people, they're anywhere from $40,000-$60,000 for that same transport. And you asked who pays for it. The insurance companies pay for it. I mean, you got Medicare, Medicaid. However, the problem with that, the government, most of our transport, it's our government transports. They're like 80% either Medicaid or Medicare, and they don't pay the cost of our transport. They don't even meet the cost.
They pay less than the full amount.
Yeah, because you have to accept assignment, mm-hmm. and that means they'll say, okay, we'll allow, this is the 100% we'll allow. Mm-hmm. We'll pay 80% of that 100%, and the customer or the patient's responsible for the rest of the 20%. Mm-hmm. But it's not even half of what we're charging is the problem.
And what does a subscription or a membership in Mercy Flights cost?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's for a family, not seniors, it's like $85 a year, and that is for everybody in your household, and that mm-hmm. includes the ground, the helicopter, the fixed wings. Mm-hmm. And it, with seniors, their rates even go down further, I think another $10. And also we have a lot of groups that, you know, could be trailer home, could be businesses, it could be that will even give that benefit to their employees, or they'll have a point person and we'll give them a discount for having a group membership.
Well, a model that works after all these years, and people stick with you for a while. As you became CEO when you came in as a paramedic yourself, I understand.
Yeah, I came here from Denver. I was a Denver paramedic, and I came here in 1994, and love the area, love raising my family here, and I just, you know, struck it rich with Mercy Flights. Is such a company that's wonderful, and I believe in what it does for the community here. So I'm not going anywhere.
Doug Stewart is the CEO of Mercy Flights. Thanks so much for joining us.